Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not bad works, but good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. Uncircumcision was the Gentile dogs, as they called them. The circumcision, by the way, was the Jews in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where you were. You had no hope. Amen. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. Therefore, if He is our peace, we ought to have peace. Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. There's that word again. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace, there's that word again, to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together unto a holy or an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I'll finish reading there, and you may be seated. In previous messages we've looked... Previous message we looked at, first message one, chapter 2, was architecturally designed to last. In the second message we looked at, message number 2 was artistically developed to last. But this third message that we're going to look at tonight is articulately displayed to last. Now, what I'm going to preach on tonight is simply the fact that everything that we've studied in chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 7 showed us what we were and where we came from. Amen. And in doing that, Paul is trying to jog your memory and jog your soul and jog everything about you to understand that you were nothing without God, and God brought you from a nothing to a somebody. You're still nobody without God, but you are somebody in Christ. Amen. And that's the first two messages. But now what Paul is going to bring across to us is that what God has architecturally designed to last, and what He has artistically developed to last, ought to be showing in the fact that He articulately displayed it to last. In other words, it ought to be displaying in our lives. Amen. No good to say I am something if when we open our mouth, if it erases everything that we say we are. Amen. No use to say I love somebody if we stick that dagger in the back as soon as their back's turned. Say amen. No use. I mean, that's what Paul's getting at now. He's saying that if you have it, display it. If it's in your closet, wear it. Amen. If it's not, then if it's not there, then you need to get it. Amen. But too long in the Baptist church, we have put out our signs and put out our big steeples and put out all kinds of programs and everything else. But yet, when it comes right down to what someone looked at us to see, they didn't see a whole lot. Amen. We ought to be different. We ought to be different than the bar on Saturday night. Amen. One preacher said it's about as easy to pick a, or easier to pick a fight in the Baptist church than it is in a bar on Saturday night. Amen. And that's about the truth. Don't have to do much. Sometimes all you do is just follow God and you get a good fight going. Amen. But he's saying that it ought to be articulately displayed to last. Now, in verse number 8 through 9, I want to show you first of all that the welcome sign has been posted. God has opened house and He has put out the grand opening sign in the grace age. That's what we're in. We're in the age of grace. Grace started when Jesus died on Calvary. Amen. And thank God for grace. If it wasn't for grace, you'd be lost tonight. If it wasn't for grace, you wouldn't be here tonight. If it wasn't for grace, you'd probably be dead in hell tonight. It's all by grace, thank God. I'm glad I'm saved by grace and not by works. Amen. Insert works, you no longer have grace. Grace comes, then works come, but works does not come before grace. So God has put out His open house sign and open door sign, and He's declared it all sinners, thank God. All sinners, Jew, Gentile, and Greek, thank God, can come into the house and be saved by the grace of God. I'm here to tell you tonight that's exactly what this church is. Hallelujah. It's not a political scene. It's not the club on the corner like some people think. It's not a clubhouse, praise God, where you can come and do as you please. It's a house of God, hallelujah. It's a hospital, a glory to God, where sick sinners can come in and get saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah to God. So you've got, number one, you've got a front door of grace. Now, most buildings in our world have a main entrance. We've got a main entrance right there, but we've also got a side entrance right there. And a lot of buildings got back doors they use for shipping and receiving and things like that. But in God's building, there is no back door. Amen. There is no side door where you can slip in. There's only a front door. If you're going to get saved, you're going to come in by the front door. Amen. You're going to come in exactly like God said. Hallelujah. You're not going to come in because you got all emotionally excited in some singing or shouting place. You're going to come in because you heard the precept of the Word of God. Hallelujah. In power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It's a front door of grace. Amen. Now all of you that are saved, you should be saying amen to this. Yes. If you're saved.
Amen.
And if you have a reason you can't say amen to preaching on the grace of God, you really have a problem.
Right. Yes.
Amen, preacher. Amen. So it only has one door. And that door establishes the only entrance into the building. There's only one way. One way in, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the life. Jesus said, I am the bread. Jesus said, I am the water. He said, I am salvation. When you see the Father, you've seen me. Or you see me, you've seen the Father. He was saying there's only one way, glory to God. That's all we got to preach tonight, is that there's one way, hallelujah. You come in, you're in the door. If you don't come in, you're standing on the outside looking in, amen. He said, I am the door. Say, well, preacher, I believe I might sneak in by the side door. You can't do it. Because our Savior is standing guard. By the way, there's no side door. You can't even come in the front door if you don't come in by the right on the right basis, because the Savior says, I am the door. You can't come in except by me, through me, and for me. Amen. So it's a front door of grace. Amen. And it can only be entered by the possession of faith. It can only be entered by through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace becomes the key that unlocks the door. Hallelujah. Now listen to this tonight. I mean, grace is the key, but Jesus is the door. And the only thing that will unlock the door is the grace. And that's our key. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Grace becomes the key that unlocks the door. Well, you got a front door of grace, but you got a free door of the gift. It says that the grace of God is a free gift. That means it's free.
If it's free, it's free. If I handed you a dollar and you took it, then it was free. I didn't put any stipulations on it. It's free. But now if I said you had to work for that dollar, clean up the trash or clean the windows or something like that, and I'd give you a dollar, hey, then it's not free anymore. You're doing something for that dollar. But God said, I don't want you to do anything. You know why God said you? Because you're dirty, stinking, rotten sinners, and you have no, they're no good to me. Your stench rises up to me from the graveyards of sin and depravity. And God said, I don't want what you got. I don't need what you got. But I'll give you this grace free. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. More to make us just shout and run to aisles. Amen. Glory to God. The grace of God. So we are automatically, we are delighted to see the next door of a free gift open automatically. You see, Jesus said, I am the door. And you've got to have grace to come through the door. But the next door opens up automatically. It's the gift of God. Amen. It is the gift of God. Let me say it one more time. It's the gift of God. You did nothing for it. You did not want absolutely thing to get it. God give it to you. Amen. And if God give it to you and you didn't work for it, then I wonder why we get all kind of pride, all kind of selfish attitudes. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder why we do that. Hey, you wouldn't be here, you rotten sinner. I wouldn't be here a rotten for the good grace of God. Therefore, all I can do is talk about what I have. I've noticed the people in 31 years of pastoring, they always talk about what's most important to them. What's most important to me is what I talk about the most about. Word of God. Not ashamed of that. I'm proud of that. Amen. Amen. It took a lot of licks as a preacher, took a lot of licks as a pastor, probably take a lot more. But hey, that ain't what I'm about. I just do that. What I am is a preacher of the gospel. This is me. It's all I am. It's all I'm about. Hey, every minute I have, every second I have, I'm doing something about the gospel. You hear what I say? I used to go fishing. I ain't been fishing all year. Why, preacher? Because I'd rather be in the book, glory to God. I'd rather be in the gospel, hallelujah. That's what I'm about. That's what I talk about, hallelujah. Because that's what I am, glory to God. I've noticed people talk about what they are. I've noticed people in the world and in the church as well talk about what is most important to them. If power is important to them, then they talk about power. Amen. Got to have it my way. Got to get this done my way. Hey, that's what's important to them. It makes no difference if someone is standing around that's lost without God. It makes no difference if someone hears them knowing that they profess to be a shouting saint of God. It makes no difference if that person goes to hell because of what they said. Hallelujah. Got quiet, didn't it? People talk about what's important to them. I talk about what's important to me. There it is. Hallelujah. That's it. That's what I am, and the older I get, the more I'm in it. And I plan to stay in it. Hallelujah. Now what's important to you today? Some people, their money's important to them. Amen. Some people, it's power. Some people, it's authority. Some people, it's money. Some people, it's just outright meanness. Some people, it's just outright gossip. Some people, just outright backbiting. Some people just outright backstabbing. Amen. So you do what's important to you. Or you just do what you are. I guess there's some people that can't help do that because that's what they are. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Amen. So when it comes to, when you see Brother Wayne, say, well, you work, don't you? You help. Let me tell you how I work. That little preacher man was here on Friday night of our camp meeting that works up there. I had him come up here and pray. When I first met him, he was antagonistic and all kinds of problems with him, and I talked to him, and I worked with him, and I got him enrolled in our school, and now he's the best little fella I've been around. Guess what we do? We go up there, and when we're sitting waiting to park the car, we got the Bible laying on the table. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It worked! Glory to God! I'm the same person, hallelujah, that I am in the house of God. At home, glory to God! Come on down and watch me! I'm in my computer room. I'm studying. I'm writing. I'm meditating. I'm looking for something for God, because that's what I am, glory to God. And I'm proud of what I am. Not because of what I've done, but I thank God that He's used me. Hallelujah. Boy, it's quiet in here. About like Episcopalian church. Amen. I want to stop preaching and serve sacraments. Or maybe I need to set me up a little confession booth over there in the corner. Two of them. With nothing but a little old hole in there. Amen. And you come over to the confession booth and confess your sins. Amen. Still quiet, ain't it? Maybe I'm on something I need to stay on then. Hallelujah. It's a free door, thank God, of the gift. There's no charge for God's grace. It's given not of ourselves, but by the grace of God. God owed us nothing. We weren't worth anything. Oh, no. Glory to God. That's why it makes me sick to see a proud, arrogant, self-glorying Christian. Amen. Because you ain't nothing. I said you ain't nothing, and you love looking at anything either. I am, Paul said, I am by what I am by the grace of God. I will tell you tonight, that's all I am. I'm nothing but God in His infinite mercy and by His loving grace. Look down on this old boy about 44 years ago over there in a little Baptist church, glory to God, and saved me by the grace of God. And I will tell you, I still am nothing tonight. So if you ever figure out you're nothing, then you'll figure out you can do nothing. Paul said, I do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But you never read where Paul ever said, I did this myself. Not one time. Hallelujah. So we looked at the welcome sign has been posted. Verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 10. We see that the workmanship sign has been posted. There's three words in verse number 10. Look at it. Make sure I'm preaching out the Word of God now. You look at your Bible. It says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Three words. Amen. Number one word is workmanship. Number two word is works. And number three word is walk. Amen. Workmanship. In other words, the way you are, if you are what you say you are, if you are a child of God tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, if you are blood washed tonight, then what you are is the workmanship of God. It's not what you've done. It's not anything you've achieved. It's not how long you've been a member of a church. It's not how many times your name's written on a church roll. It don't matter if you've been baptized in every fog pot in this county. I'm telling you, what you are is by the workmanship of God. Hallelujah. Everything good about you. But those old bad traits, no, God didn't make you that way. God didn't make me that way. Oh no, friend. I'm telling you, that's the old nature coming back in. That's the old rotten flesh seeking back in your life. Amen. Some of you need to learn to get up in the morning and do that. I preached it before and I will preach it again. I do it every day. If I didn't, I'd live for the devil every day. So, but you're a preacher. I'm still a man. Might be called by God, but I'm still a man. And if I didn't settle that battle every morning, I'd be living for the devil every day. And it's still hard not to do it anyway. Say amen, somebody. That'll help you do that, to realize you're nothing. You don't have any power except the power of God. I settle that question every day before I walk out that door. Lord, I realize who I am. I realize who You are. I realize who Satan is. And if I don't yield myself to You today, if I don't make myself a living sacrifice to You today, then I'm going to live for that other power. Only two powers in the world, and that's God and Satan. Amen. And you're going to live for one day. Amen. And you can, hey, you can come to church and live for the devil. Say amen, somebody. Workmanship sign has been posted. So workmanship becomes what? It becomes our personality. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. He said we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That takes me back to the potter and the clay. You see that potter, he molds. He takes it, goes after that clay down on the riverside. And he takes that clay out from the dirty muck and mire. And he takes it back to his house. And he cleans that clay up. Somebody say amen to that. He cleans that clay up. And then he takes that clay and he puts it on his wheel. And he starts pumping the foot pedal and working that clay with his hands. And man, pretty soon after a while, a vessel starts to form on that wheel. Amen. And then the potter, he'll take that vessel when he's got it exactly like he wants it. And he'll put it in the furnace. Amen. He'll turn it up one time if it don't crack. He'll turn it up twice as hot, don't crack. He'll turn it up third time, don't crack. And finally, he'll put that maximum heat on that piece of pottery. And if it don't crack, amen, out comes a beautiful vessel. Now, I want to ask you, do you have anything to do with that vessel? No, you didn't. The potter did. And that's exactly where you are tonight. You had nothing to do with what you are by the grace of God. It's all the workmanship of God. Amen. Say, preacher, what's he do with them cracked pots? He puts them up on the shelf. And he'll refire them later. But they'll be on the shelf for a while. Christians do good to learn that. Oh my, you do good to learn that. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe they can say anything, do anything, live anyway, and still be right with God. Still get the blessings of God, not according to my Bible. And I'm living proof of it. I tried it. I tried it. I said I tried it. And I know how cold I got. And I know how God whipped me. Brother Marvin, you know what I'm saying is true. I know how God whipped me. And I know even after I come back to God, I didn't come back like I left. A lot of people think that. You know, you can do anything. You say anything. You hurt anybody and just act like it never happened. Well, it happened to God. I said it happened to God. And if you don't ever get it right, you never will be right. Amen. That's right. I've seen people go from church to church and tear up this church and tear up that church and tear up this church, tear up that church, and still going to churches. Amen. But never one time repented of that person is not right with God. Workmanship becomes our personality. Amen. Work becomes our performance. I don't think I'll preach to midnight. Paul did it. Of course, they beheaded him too. Amen. Some people think I shine away from my preaching, so I don't think I'll preach to midnight. Hallelujah. Show you how much an old 61-year-old man can't preach. Hallelujah to God. Works becomes our performance. Three words. Workmanship. That's what you are. Works is what you do. Works after grace, not before grace. Works after grace, not before grace. Works because of grace. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't I work? I was headed for hell. I might even be in hell right now. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to hell anymore. I've been fireproof, glory to God. I got the Holy Ghost residing in my soul. I'm heaven bound, thank God, with a hammer down. That's why I work for Him. I don't work for recognition. Don't nobody know who I am anyway. Don't really matter if anybody knows. It don't really matter what people think of me. I settled that a long time ago, Brother Martin. It don't really matter. I mean, I want everybody to like it, but hey, if preaching the gospel and doing what God says gets me out of life, then so be it. Glory to God. I'm still going to work for Him. I'm not working for the church. I'm not working for church members. I'm working for God Almighty. Because He gave me grace. You didn't give me a thing. Hallelujah to God. Work becomes our performance. So how are you performing tonight? Really, how are you performing? I mean, is your work more akin to the devil than it is to God? I'm just asking a question. You have to answer. I count for myself. I can't count for nobody else. Amen. So Paul's making an emphatic statement that we would do very well tonight to take note of. He says that works before salvation don't enter into God's plan of salvation. You can do nothing to get saved. Not a thing. As a matter of fact, he said you were dead in trespasses and sin. What could you do to get saved? I mean, we got this today about the seeker-friendly churches. Never heard such gag-a-maggot mess in my life. Nobody seeks God until God seeks them. And faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. And how can they hear without what? A preacher. So there is no such thing as a seeker-friendly church. But there can be a sinner-friendly church. Amen. So work becomes our performance. Amen. So good works are bad works. Good works don't bring rewards. Baptists don't believe what I'm fixing to preach. Since God saved your soul, every word that proceeds out of your mouth, every word, every ill thought, every backbiting word, every gossiping word, you're going to count for it one. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, wait a minute, preacher. No. God washed your sins away. Those sins are gone. He said, I'll bear them in the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. Be remembered no more. Say amen. But when you got saved, you now have a fire within you that you don't have to see it. I didn't say you wouldn't. No, they ain't what said. I didn't say you'd ever live above sin. But you don't have to see it. What worries me is not people committing sins that they get trapped into. It's these people that claim to be children of God that openly, blatantly, ongoing everything, sin in their life. When you get saved, you won't quit sinning, but you'll quit wanting to. Amen, preacher. Sure will. So that works becomes our workmanship, becomes our personality. Works becomes our performance. But walk becomes our progression. Walking. Now here it is about a walk. Don't miss this. I'm just going to preach it. You start walking from here to Concord. City of Concord, just swear, right now. You walk a mile, you got a mile behind you. Is that right? Now, I'm going to show you what Baptists do. They turn around after a mile, and they rewalk that same mile, and go back right where they started from. Amen, Brother Marvin. And they say, I've walked 2 miles. I walked 2 miles for the Lord. But you ain't got nowhere. You're right back where you started. Is that right? Somebody say amen today. So that's what we're doing. We're just walking in circles. You say, people ever do that? Sure they did. Children of Israel walked in about 3 mile circle, Brother Marvin, for 40 years. Around in a circle for 40 years. So, I've really done something for God. But you're no further than you were yesterday. I've served God for 30 years, but you're no further than you were 30 years ago. So where's the walk? Where's the progress? There is none. That's a contradiction to the Word of God. When you got saved, you were a newborn babe, but God wanted to grow you up. He fed you milk because you couldn't handle nothing else, just like a little baby can. But hey, there's a day when you're supposed to graduate from being a thumb-sucking, a crying-threatened baby into an adult. Amen. Where you can eat meat. Hallelujah. I'm preaching the Word. Walk becomes our progression. If I knew, if I stood right here before you today and I knew that I didn't know any more than I knew 30 years ago, I'd walk out that door, I'd throw that Bible on the floor, I'd walk out that door, I'd never preach again. Because that's 30 wasted, Brother Chuck, that's 30 wasted years. 30 wasted years. If I didn't know any more right now of the Word of God than I did 30 years ago, if I didn't know any more on how to live for God by 30 years of experience living for God, I'd throw that Bible down and walk out that door. The walk becomes our progression. You can't progress unless you walk. You will never get to Square of Concord unless you start walking. But in our Baptist churches, when somebody gets saved, unfortunately, when they open their eyes as a saint of God, they see people that's been sitting there 50 years and they've done nothing.
That's
right. So their example's not too good. Y'all fasten your seatbelts. I've still got 3 hours to go. So, if progression becomes, if our walk becomes our progression, and workmanship is our workmanship, works and walk. Then somewhere we failed. Is that right? Amen. We failed somewhere, I believe. Amen. Workmanship signs been posted. God said, "I saved you. I left you here. I said I didn't save you for you to sit down. If I want you to sit down, I'd let you come on to heaven, sit down on the streets of gold." But God said, "No, I didn't do that. I said I saved you and I put you where you are. I gave you a good Bible-believing church. I gave you brothers and sisters in the house of God that love you and pray for you and bear your burdens. I gave you a man of God that will preach the Word of God to you. Amen. And you haven't even ought to sit down. You ought to be going every day for the glory of God." Mercy, y'all get quieter as the minutes roll on. By 12 o'clock, y'all be past plumb out. The warning signs are displayed. Amen. Let me go back. Welcome signs been posted. Workmanship signs been posted. Warning signs are displayed. He wants to jog your memory in verse number 11. Watch this. We need our memories jogged. "Wherefore remember," that's what he said, "that ye be in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." That at the time you were without Christ, y'all remember when you was without Christ, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now," there's that "but now" that appeared in verse number 4. "But now God's intervened." Oh, hallelujah for the day God intervened. Had He not intervened, we'd be in hell tonight. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my goodness, how can we sit around quiet and so apathetic to the things of God? The warning signs are displayed. You've got a warning sign that jogs your memory in that verse number 11, verse number 12. It's a stop sign in the Christian life. And we need that. Every now and then God will throw a stop sign up in your life He'll throw a warning sign, a caution sign, a flashing red sign that says you need to look back. You're getting a little bit of pride in your life. You're getting a little bit of the wrong attitude in your life. You're getting where you think you're somebody, and you need to look back at what you were. You were nothing but an old Gentile dog, dead in trespasses and sin, in the graveyard of sin. Hallelujah to God. But God, hallelujah, He came down where you were at and saved you by the grace of God. A stop sign. Look back and remember.
I'll tell you how to do it. You won't listen to me, but I'll tell you how to do it. Every time you get ready to say something about somebody, say, Lord, remind me of when I got saved. And if you really got saved, when that joy floods your soul, you won't say anything. Oh, glory to God. Well, no, preacher, I gotta say it. When you think more of what you want to say than you do of God reminding you when you got saved. I'd rather remember the day I got saved. Hallelujah. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing in this world that is enticing enough that would want me to forget the day that God saved my soul. Hallelujah. I like to go back. It's a warning sign that jogs your memory. We tend to forget where we came from. Forget who and what conditions we were in when God saved us. And then we tend to forget who it is that saved us. Amen. Amen. We come to church and we come for all the wrong reasons. The right reason is to come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's what it's all about. There is no other reason. I have no other reason. I have no other alternative for coming to the house of God. I don't come to see people. I like you people. I love you people. I like to see you. But hey, if I get to see Him, I don't get to see you. I'm a satisfied child of God because it's all about Him. Warning signs are displayed. Warning sign that jogs your memory, but there's a warning sign that jump starts your ministry. Everybody's got a ministry. So I thought that's just for preachers. No, you need to read your Bible. Everybody's got a ministry. Now, I don't mean God calls like He calls preachers and evangelists, but you got a ministry. God left you here for a ministry. God left you here to minister. Who you minister to? Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you. But who are you ministering to? I mean, would you rather use your voice to tell some lost poor soul that's headed to hell about a Savior that wants to save them? Or would you rather use your voice to tear somebody down? Or would you, I mean, what's your ministry? I met people in my past in churches that thought their ministry was making the life of a preacher miserable. Well, it got quiet, didn't it? But they are. Brother Marvin, you had more than I have. Amen. I mean, they really thought. I think they thought God put them on this earth and put them in the church to keep the preacher straight. Hey, the preacher don't need you to keep him straight. I've got God Almighty to keep me straight. And He does a pretty good job of it. I checked up before I come down here. I said, Lord, am I doing it right? He said, you're doing it right. Am I preaching it right? Are you preaching it right? Am I pastoring it right? He said, you're pastoring it right. Hallelujah. That's all I need. It's a warning sign that jump starts your ministry. Got to have a ministry. Amen. Then number four, the worthy signs are displayed. Warning signs have been displayed, but the warning, worthy signs are displayed. Y'all thought I was kidding about midnight. I'll show you the old man's got more in him than what you think he got.
The worthy signs are displayed. Verse number 19, look at that. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Wow! He said you're no more strangers. That means we know each other. That means we're in the same family. That means we're brothers and sisters. Hey, isn't that amazing? Amen. Hey, you say, well, that ain't the same as my blood family. No, unfortunately it's not. But it ought to be greater. I know the blood of family lines runs stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ. I found that out in Lincoln County. But I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood that flows through the veins of a child of God is eternal. And that blood which flows in your family line is not eternal, because that blood will cease and those bodies will die. But what I am by the grace of God, and that will be for eternity.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? We're brothers and sisters. Amen. We're in the same family, Brother Chubb. I'm your brother. Isn't that amazing? I guess he said that because when we were lost, we had no family spiritually. When we were lost, we were just wandering pilgrims, no home, no hope, no family. We were orphans just waiting for our punishment. But God, He saved us. He put us in a family. Every day I get emails from preachers and people on the internet. And they say, brother, oh, that warms my heart. I ain't never seen him. I never saw Jimmy Chapman before he walked in this church. But we told each other we love each other over the internet. We called each other brother. Why? Because we got the same daddy. Hallelujah to God. I got the same father. Glory to God. We're family. We're not foreigners and we're not strangers anymore. And I want to say this to you. Glory to God. We ought to treat each other like we're family. We ought to treat each other like we're foreigners and strangers. Glory to God. People get treated better in the bar than they do in the house of God. Glory to God. I might just shout for an hour and then start preaching again. Y'all, you're not laughing as much at that as you were because I'm past 8 o'clock. You say, I wonder if he really means that. The worthy signs are displayed. So, in God's glorious building called the church, we begin to see signs that declare the worthiness of this great building. Now I'm not talking about your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, but your body ain't nothing. Your body's going right back where it come from. So that great building is your soul. And God built that building. He established that building in your soul. Isn't that wonderful? And there's worthy signs. But it's not that you, it's not a worthy sign that says you're worthy. It's a worthy sign that says He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy! I saw a dollar of coin today. First one I'd seen. Don't have In God We Trust on anymore. Printed by our U.S. government. Did y'all know it was out? Oh yes. You say we didn't vote on that. You don't have to vote on anything in America anymore. But it's out. And it don't have In God We Trust on it either. Go to post office. They'll give you one probably if you get change back. They don't want it anymore. But I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. It'll preach 12 o'clock. I could. What's wrong with America? America, the lost people. Lost people will be lost people. Lost people have always been lost people. Lost people ain't changed one iota. I take you back to the 300 years after Christ was crucified and the Catholic Church perpetrated the worst massacre of the Anabaptists that's ever been perpetrated and did it in the name of God. Lost people ain't changed one bit. But what we're seeing in America today is not because lost people have gotten any worse. It's because church people have got worse. We're playing God. Amen. We'd rather have our way than God have His way. We'd whole lot rather pat ourselves on the shoulder than to lift His name up. And the world has looked at it so long they got sick of it. And they said, there ain't nothing there. We'd take them. I believe that's what Obama believes. We'd take them. We're no longer a Christian nation. There was a day, if he'd have said that, that the church would have been marching down the streets of Washington, D.C. And he said it, and except for a few preachers, you didn't hear much about it, Brother Marvin. Church is going downhill. God's not, but the church is. So I'll leave that with you. What kind of church member are you? Let's all stand. No benediction, you're dismissed.